Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn! Woo-hoo!
Please welcome to the studio Tiaza Federsan. How are you, sir?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Thanks for coming in. You're a PhD student working at the Liggins Institute here at the university. And today we're going to talk about your untangling of the genetic link between obesity and diabetes. Now, we know that obesity and diabetes and type 2 diabetes are linked in some manner. Yep. But it's a matter of finding out why, how, and how to avoid it, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
Because a third of New Zealanders are considered obese.
Da, da, da.
That's a shocker, isn't it? What have you been learning? What are some of the revelations that have come out of the institute of late?
Yeah, thank you very much. So it's very interesting because until recently, our understanding of the genetic basis of non-communicable diseases like diabetes and obesity is
is it fair to say self-generating diseases? Do they? Is that how they work? They're non-communicable.
So non-communicable means that they have some genetic components, but the environment can also play a role in it. So like type 2 diabetes, for example, you can inherit some mutations from your parents that contribute to it, but lifestyle as well.
Mutations in your DNA.
Yeah, in your DNA.
So if you were to have those mutations but then potentially not eat badly or whatever causes type 2 diabetes, you would maybe not get it.
Yes, so you can really manage it with your lifestyle choices like dieting, like exercise and all of that. Yep.
So we know about that sort of thing though, but what are the new discoveries being made about, you know, we know that if you eat well and you exercise and you keep yourself in good nick, yep, then you're less likely to develop type 2 diabetes, even if it has been genetically passed down. But what else do we learn? We learn there's identified new parts of the DNA, haven't we?
Exactly.
Isn't DNA so amazing, though?
So the cool thing about my research is that there's this part of the DNA that is called junk DNA.
Junk DNA?
Yeah. That used to be called junk DNA, but now we know that that part of the DNA is actually involved in a lot of things.
So it used to be just written off as that's just stuff that was just lazy, isn't it, calling it
exactly,
junk DNA?
Because we didn't understand what that part of the DNA does, because genes are not in those parts of the DNA.
Right.
And people used to think that genes are the most important part of the DNA, but we just have about 20,000 genes, right?
Just 20,000 genes.
Just 20,000 genes. Yeah. But then we have like 3 billion letters in DNA. So
just a second, 20,000 genes and 3 billion...
letters, like the A, T, G and C's.
Oh, that 3 billion, you say?
Yep.
Not so easy to work out.
Not so easy. So most of these mutations that have been associated with these non-communicable diseases, more than 90% of them fall in the junk DNA.
Formerly named junk DNA.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So we don't know what those mutations do. Now, my research looks at a cool way of finding out what those mutations do.
You say cool way.
Cool.
What do you mean cool?
So,
hey, what's a cool way of finding out that you've got type 2 diabetes?
Yeah. So usually when you sequence people's DNA, the results come back in a linear form. So it's just like a textbook with letters in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the linear form, right?
Yeah.
But if you stretch your DNA, the whole DNA in a nucleus of a cell, it's about 2 meters long.
Oh.
But the nucleus of most cells in the body is just about 6 microns. 1 micron is like a millionth of a meter.
Just trying to keep on top of this. Yep. Okay. So, Yep.
So to fit 2 meters into that tiny space, the DNA has to be folded in such a way.
How do you find this out? How on earth do you find that out?
Well, latest technologies, for example, have shown us that this is the structure of the DNA is very important in how diseases progress.
Yeah.
And what we do in our lab is we've created a computer program that is able to find the parts of the DNA that are in physical contact with those mutations.
Wow.
And now we...
Are you a sorcerer? How do you do that? I just don't, like, I mean, just, is it microscopes? Is it guesswork? Is it just a matter of sort of trial and error? Or?
So we have big data,
yeah,
genetic data, lots of them. Yeah. And we have data that actually captures the parts of DNA that are interacting with each other.
Yeah.
So we use computational methods, machine learning, and all of that to intersect those parts of the DNA, and then data that shows how genes, the gene products, proteins, are actually changing in people with diseases.
Right.
So we combine all that together, and then we identify those target genes.
That is quite cool.
Yep.
If not, very confusing. Are you sharing this information with other universities, other institutes, and learning institutions around the world, constantly updating that sort of information?
Yes, actually, because most of the data we use are actually generated by other institutions.
Yeah.
So it's a collaboration, and then we depend on them to make sense of this genetic information.
Wow. And so where to from here? What are we doing now that we've sort of identified that this junk DNA isn't so junky after all?
Yeah. So our initial work was on type 2 diabetes and obesity, and we found that there are some common underlying pathways that influence type 2 diabetes and obesity and why they occur together in people.
Yeah.
That's comorbidity. Now we've gone forward to look at multimorbidity, which is simply the occurrence of two or more long-term disorders in people.
Wow.
And in New Zealand, for example, one in four adults has a multimorbidity. So, and that's a huge problem.
So is that one in four adults have more than one long-term disease?
Yeah, more than two, actually.
Messy, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, we're a mixed bunch, you know?
So
Godspeed with your work, sir. Godspeed.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So the problem here is that in healthcare generally is specialized in single disease. So you have a disease, you go to the hospital, and there's a specialist that takes care of you. But people who have multimorbidity means that they have lots of problems, and then they go to the hospital and they meet different specialists, and the major problem is polypharmacy, which is you're giving lots of drugs to handle those different diseases. But with this research, we are identifying the common genes that are responsible for those different diseases that occur. And our aim is to have drug targets that will pinpoint those multimorbidity.
Right.
And that will hopefully solve the problem of polypharmacy and the associates problems.
Tidy up our genes, yep. Sort of. Wow, that's amazing. Hey, well, thanks for coming in, Tiaza Fadazan.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with the rest of your tinkering.
Thank you, mate.
And everything, the things that make us the way we are. And keep us up to speed, won't you, if there's anything new comes up?
Sure. Thank you for having me.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.